You've got your Bible open or with you or your app on your phone, if you turn to Psalm 104. And if you're someone who likes being outside and taking in God's creation, you're going to want to earmark this psalm to pull it out when you're out on those walks and enjoying what God has made. Psalm 104, starting at verse 1, says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chamber on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He sets the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they could not cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour out water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are the refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work and his labor until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. And Ephesians chapter 3. Starting at verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word.
Thank you, Rod, for reading the scripture this morning. I love how the Apostle Paul in this scripture uses every word possible to be able to convey the greatness of our God. And again, thinking back to the Psalms, we're going to look a bit more at that. But just it's amazing to see the description that people try to describe creation and how they see God in creation. Well, the past few weeks, last week we obviously had baptism service, and the month before that we have been learning how to hear the Holy Spirit and also the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And from that message, it's been awesome. I've gotten a number of emails just from people who have been encouraged through that series and just showing up, seeing God in their everyday life, I guess you'd say. But at the same time, I know that there's life happens and many different situations can happen. And sometimes, even when we're trying to see God in the middle of it, there can be situations that we get that happen in our life where it's easy sometimes to lose hold of the hope that we have. And it's easy to forget how great our God is and how big our God is and the work that he's always doing and working in and through our lives despite situations that come up in our life, okay? So this morning, I wanted to preach a message called How Great is Our God as an encouragement to all of us here, just in, you know, as I'm preaching this message, my prayer is that if there is something in your life that you are asking the Lord of this morning, that you want to see him show up, I encourage you to allow your faith to rise up in your heart and receive from the Lord during this message, to be encouraged through whatever situation you have, and that throughout the week, you may be filled with strength and hope and joy, not just here during this hour, but in everyday life, that you might remember and be reminded how great our God is. Amen? Let's pray one more time. Lord, we just thank you for your awesome power, for your wisdom, Lord. Lord, we haven't been able to even scratch the surface of your wisdom. There's nothing of man that can come even close to you. But Lord, this morning, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of each one of us, that we would be able to get a glimpse of your strength, of your power, of your awesomeness, and that we might be able to remind it in our heart how great you truly are and how you're working in and through our lives. We open our hearts to receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, before I get started this morning, I just have to say one thing. I know a couple weeks ago I said that it was fall and that my white shoes were going away. And this morning I put them on and Danielle said to me, she wasn't able to be here this morning, but she told me, she's like, you told them that you weren't going to wear your white shoes and everyone's going to notice. So this is me saying, hey, I'm wearing white shoes again. It's nice weather today. So I thought, hey, let's pull them back out. So don't be distracted by my white shoes, okay? Awesome. Okay, everyone repeat after me. Say, God is able. God is able to do. God is able to do exceedingly. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that that worketh in us. Well, Rod, you read this morning, but I wanted us all to be able to just repeat that, because that should stir us up. That should do something in us. And I hope that comes alive in us this morning, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Pastor and author John Piper says this about the greatness of God. He says this: it is about the greatness of God, not the significance of man. God made man small and the universe big to say something about himself. And I also love what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, "I can see how it might be possible for man to look down upon earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say that there is no God." Isn't that good? Well, we are looking at three different points this morning. One is the greatness of God in creation. Two, the greatness of God through Jesus in the New Testament. And three, the greatness of God in us. So let's look at our first point, which is the greatness of God in creation. Robert Wells wrote a book entitled, "Is a Blue Whale the Biggest Thing There Is?" Maybe you've heard of it, but it's a children's book to help little ones see how big the universe really is. He goes on to say, "The largest animal on earth is the blue whale. Just the flippers of its tail are bigger than most animals on earth. But the blue whale isn't anywhere near as big as a mountain. If you could put 100 blue whales inside of a jar, a huge jar, you could fit millions of those whale jars, inside of the hollowed out Mount Everest. But Mount Everest isn't anywhere near as big as the earth. If you stack 100 Mount Everests on top of one another, it would just be a whisker on the face of the earth. The earth isn't anywhere near as big as the sun. You could fit 1 million Earths inside the sun. 1 million Earths inside the sun. But the sun isn't anywhere near as big as a red supergiant star called Antares." Did I pronounce that right? I heard a yes and a no, I think. You know what I'm saying, right? Close enough. Thank you. You could fit 50 million of our suns inside Antares. But Antares isn't anywhere near as big as the Milky Way galaxy. Billions of stars, including superstars like Antares, make up the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy isn't anywhere near as big as the universe. There are billions of other galaxies in the universe, yet filled with billions of galaxies, the universe is almost totally empty. The distances from one galaxy to another are beyond human calculation. Yet we are told in our opening psalm that the one who created it all spoke it into being and sustains it with his power. The only thing that does justice to the greatness of God is God himself. Again, in our opening psalm, David tells us more about God's splendor than we're practically told in the Bible. And here it tells us how great our God is. Well, this morning I'd like to show you a quick, short video that explains the vastness of our universe and all that God has created. It's a video called "The Awe Factor of God," and it's by Francis Chan. Let's watch this now.
What you're seeing right now. First of all, this is the Earth. Okay? Just you're taking off from the Earth from Southern California, and we're gonna rise up for a little bit here. Okay, we're gonna pull away from it. We're gonna pull higher. Now this is at about 10 kilometers. Like if you climb Mount Everest, this is what you'd see. You'd see the curvature of the Earth from that distance. Now we're gonna climb up even higher. This is at 100 kilometers. And you're a fourth of the way to the space station now. This is what you'd see. If you get to this level, you're considered an astronaut. Just if you ever get there. Okay, now we're going 100,000 kilometers. 100,000 kilometers from the Earth. You're a fourth of the way to the moon. That's what the Earth would look like. Now we're going to pull away to 1 million kilometers. At 1 million kilometers, there's the moon. Okay? There's the moon. You can barely see the earth. You're at 1,000,000 kilometers now. You're past the moon. And now we're going to go to 100 million kilometers. 100 million kilometers. You're still not to the sun. The sun's 93 million miles away. But now we're going to go to 10 trillion kilometers. There's the sun. Okay. You just passed the sun. Now you would see all of the planets at 10 trillion kilometers. And now we're at 10 to the 15th power. That means 10 with 15 zeros. I don't know what that number is. 15 zeros. And the sun's just like a bright dot amidst other stars. And now we're going to 10 light years away. At 10 light years away, come on, let's go. Zoom, there you go. 10 light years away. Now you just see the sun with like 11 other stars that are kind of its neighbors. You know, that's our sun. And now we're going to go 1,000 light years away. At 1,000 light years away, you wouldn't even see our sun anymore. These are just a bunch of stars close to it in this cluster inside the Milky Way. Now we're going to zoom out even further, and that's the Milky Way we live in. See that cluster of stars? Those are about 100,000 stars that are closest to our sun. You can't see our sun anymore at this point. Now this is our Milky Way galaxy, and forget about the Earth. Okay, there's our Milky Way galaxy that we live in, and we're just buried in there somewhere. And we're going to pull out even further, and you'll see that our galaxy is actually, it's a big galaxy, and all those other things you're seeing now are galaxies. And we're going to pull away 10 million light years now. His next scene is 10 million light years. Those are all galaxies you see amidst our Milky Way, several hundred galaxies. Now we're going to go 100 million light years away. This is the last one. We're going to zoom out to 100 million light years. Those are all clusters of galaxies. Galaxies and clusters of galaxies. You won't even see our Milky Way galaxy anymore amidst that. We don't have telescopes that go beyond that little sphere there.
In life, it can be so easy to get caught up in the things of the world that separate God out of them. Money, work, problems, worldly things, drama. Everywhere we look, those things can make it easy to forget how awesome and big our God truly is. And I'm here again to remind us all that our God is the best thing that ever happened to us. The one who created it all. And the one who loves us and knows us. And wants to work greatness in and through us. In the past 100 years, we have seen so many inventions. And we know the laws of gravity, we know the laws of electricity, we know lots of laws. And it wasn't until man understood those things and put them together that we were able to actually use it. But you know, those laws were here on this earth since the beginning of time. I say that to say that all wisdom comes from God. And we haven't even scratched the surface, and we never will. Any of man's wisdom is minimal compared to what the Lord's is. And we get to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord, learning from him and his wisdom and worshiping him, and it is going to be awesome. Romans 1:20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that men are without excuse." I love that, being understood through what has been made. Through Scripture, the creation of the world is cited as a compelling testimony of the power of God. This week I went for a walk and I was just simply amazed by the colors of the trees. The beauty of it. And the smell that's in the air, and I just think, how can anyone look at this and not believe in God? For any parent that has had a baby, how, you know, it's amazing how we can look at a newborn baby and say, wow, this is creation made in the form of a creator. We are made in the likeness of God. What a miracle. I know my wife always talks about all four of our kids, just blown away at how incredible life truly is and how God has made us. A friend of mine even posted on Facebook this week, took a picture of driving to work, and it had just snowed, and the snow was on the trees, and there was a beautiful sky background and just a few clouds in the background. It was gorgeous. And he posted it on Facebook, and he said, this is my drive into work this morning. And he said, artist, God. I thought that was pretty cool. Well, again, number one, we see the greatness of God in creation. But let's look at number two. Point number two, the greatness of God through Jesus in the New Testament. Now, Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah included the fact of his greatness. He was called Mighty God in Isaiah 9:6. At the time of the Messiah's birth, the birth was announced to Mary. She was told this miraculous virgin birth would take place by the power of God. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. And that was from Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 37. Our Lord's power and greatness was evident through many miracles that he performed. He performed miracles everywhere he went, to the point where the Bible even says there's not enough paper, there's not enough books to be able to write all the miracles that was happening when he was alive, when he was in the midst of his ministry. And again, people were awestruck by the evidence of his power. Luke 9:43 says, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. When John the Baptist began to have thoughts concerning the Lord, our Lord Jesus sent word back to him, and he said this. He said, and the Lord answered and said, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. Jesus made it clear that his power extended beyond the physical realm. He employed his power to heal in order to show that his power is extended to the forgiveness of sins. Of course, when we think of that, we think about how Jesus forgave and healed the paralyzed man. In Luke 5, in Matthew 9, in Mark chapter 2, Jesus said, friend, your sins are forgiven, and get up and walk, take your mat and go home. And that's awesome. It didn't stop there, though. The greatest demonstration of our Lord's power was his resurrection from the dead. John 10, 17 to 18 says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. And I love that word authority, because that's what Jesus has left for with us as his disciples, the authority to be able to do things in his name. That is why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's why there's power in the name of Jesus. Matthew 12, 38 to 40 says this, "And then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was there, was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus overcame death. It's awesome. In Jesus' first coming, people were given a glimpse of the power of our God, the greatness of our God. But Jesus makes it clear that in his second coming, all will see him coming again with power. We can't forget that he is coming again. And we live with that hope each and every day. Matthew 24, 30 says this, And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Matthew 26. I just got to pause there. About a year ago, there was a massive thunderstorm in Elmira. And I've never seen anything like that. I think it was all in our region. And it was just like boom, boom, lightning going off. And I've seen it. But this went on for about 30 minutes nonstop. And it was dark, dark. And it was pouring. I think a lot of electricity was out. And it was amazing to see the sky just... It was like fireworks. And there was a time I was ready for Jesus to come back, in that moment. It was like... It was like one moment there was a huge light, a beam of light coming from the sky. And actually was the moon behind it giving a bit of light. It was that dark, but that incredible. And again, that's how it just made me go, wow, the power of God in creation is awesome. Matthew 26, 64 also says, "Jesus said to him, 'Have you said to yourself, nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" And of course, we can't talk about the second coming of Christ without looking at Revelation. Revelation 5, 11 and 12 says, "And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" What a great scripture. Hallelujah. Through the miracles of Jesus and his death and resurrection, we see the greatness of God through Jesus in the New Testament. And this brings me to ask this question: how is the greatness of God exercised or demonstrated in the world today? And this brings us to point number three: the greatness of God in us. When our natural comes together with God's super, it creates an explosive force for God. And that is exciting because all of the grace of God, because of the grace of God, when we walk by faith, God's super is always there working in our lives, even if we don't see it and even if we don't feel it, we can believe it. And God calls us to come to him with bold faith. And get this, actions don't produce faith, but faith produces actions. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. As it says in Romans 10, 17, faith gets us to act, and then God works. It rises up inside of us. The Bible says in Mark 16, 18, "They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So what does God tell us to do? And this is when Jesus was again, giving his authority to man. He was saying, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So what's our job? To lay hands on the sick. And what is job? God's job? To have them recover. And that's neat because it actually, by the grace of God, it actually takes all the weight off us. It can be scary to think, oh, I'm going to pray for this person. Or maybe, again, in a situation, you can pray. There's lots of people that, there's lots of even unbelievers that want prayer, that will accept someone, a Christian, to pray for them. And we can believe that God is going to work through that prayer, and that prayer is answered from the time we pray. Amen? Matthew 17:20 says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And it goes on to say, nothing will be impossible for you. And that's exciting. Why is it exciting? Because I know that as I'm speaking, some of you are reconnecting your faith to something that maybe you've let go of. And for others, your faith in God is coming alive at this very moment in some area of your life, even with a mustard seed of faith. Think about Jesus when he prayed for the loaves and the fish, and they were multiplied. It actually happened two times in the New Testament. Once in Mark 6 when he feeds 5,000, and there was a boy with barley loaves and two small fish, and then another time in Matthew 15 when Jesus fed the 4,000. When we choose to come together for the purpose of glorifying God, there will God be. God will be in the middle of us. He promises to be here as we meet together on Sunday mornings. When we come to church and worship God with our whole heart, he will speak to us. Speak to every one of our hearts. Last week we had 5 baptisms. And God showed up. God moved in the hearts of all 5 of those men who made a public declaration of their faith. But I loved hearing the testimonies, how God moved in the hearts of others that were here. And you know what happened from all of that? Is God was glorified. God gets glory from our praise, and from our faith, from our lives, when we live every day for him. We do our part for the glory of God. It's like Ephesians 3 talks about, that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power, that through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I've said this before, but I love this quote. It says, many people overestimate what they can do in a day, but underestimate what they can do in a lifetime. Isn't that good? Pastor Steve taught me that. And I walk with this every week as an encouragement. When you don't feel like living with hope, God is always working. Many people overestimate what they can do in a day, but they underestimate what they can do, what God can do in a lifetime. What can you do for God to work greatness through you? Let me tell you a story of a mom that allowed God into her situation. Pam and her husband, Bob, were serving as Baptist missionaries in the Philippines and praying for a 5th child. Pam contracted amoebic dysentery, an infection of the intestine caused by a parasite found in contaminated food or drink. She went into a coma and was treated with strong antibiotics before they discovered that she was pregnant. Doctors urged her to to abort the baby for her own safety, telling her the medicines had caused irreversible damage to her baby. She refused the abortion and cited her Christian faith as the reason for her hope that her son would be born without the devastating disabilities that the physicians had predicted. While pregnant, Pam nearly lost their baby 4 times, but still refused to consider abortion. She recalled making a pledge to God with her husband. If you will give us a son, we'll name him Timothy and we'll make him a preacher. Pam ultimately spent the last 2 months of her pregnancy in bed and eventually gave birth to a healthy baby boy, August 14th, 1987. Pam's youngest son indeed is a preacher. He preaches in prisons, makes hospital visits, and serves with his father's ministry in the Philippines. He also plays football, and his name is Tim Tebow. For those that don't know Tim Tebow, he won a Heisman Trophy winner, the highest award you can get in the NFL, 2 national champions as quarterback for the University of Florida. He also played professional football, which I didn't know, for 5 years. Or sorry, professional baseball for 5 years. And now he's also married to Miss Former Universe. And together they serve in all aspects and areas of ministry. Tim has a testimony that we're going to watch at this time. And it's called his John 3:16 story. And as we watch this testimony, may you be encouraged in your own life that even when you don't see it, God is working. Even when we don't feel it, God is at work. Let's watch this now.
At the University of Florida, going into my junior year, we were getting ready to play a rival, and I was in the training room, and I was getting stretched by one of our trainers, and I looked over, and I saw some of my teammates putting eye blacks under their eyes, and so I started to think, you know, they're like putting their mom's name or their area code and different things like that. And so I started to think, you know, I wonder if I could put an eye black and put, grab a silver Sharpie and put something on there that could be encouraging or inspiring or, I don't know, uplift somebody. I started to think, well, what should I put? And I started to think, well, God bless. And I was like, I don't know. And then I thought of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was like, that's an awesome verse for a football player. That's what I'm going to go with. So I put Philippians 4:13 under my eyes, and we went out there and played, and honestly, it really wasn't a big deal. A couple local newspapers wrote about it, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But I kept wearing it under my eyes every single week, and as most of you know, fans in the SEC, you're extremely passionate about your teams, and so the next couple weeks, they start selling it at the Gator bookstore, on the sides of the streets. They're selling Philippians 4:13, and like I'm seeing fans, and they're like, all right, go, you know, go Gators, Philippians 4:13. I'm like, you don't even know what that means. I actually had one guy come up to me, his name was Phil, and he said, did you put that under your eyes for me? No, what does the 4:13 mean? But I kept wearing it under my eyes the entire season, and we get to the SEC championship game against Alabama. Calm down. And we're getting ready to run out of the tunnel. And as a football player, so often, it is really tunnel vision. It's the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. You can't afford to step back and look at the big picture because you can just lose focus. So many times it's just locked in to the next thing we have to do. Well, at this moment, I really felt like God was putting out of my heart to change the verse. I was like, really, right now? But I kind of stepped back for a second and realized that if we won, we'd be playing in the national championship. And that would be maybe the biggest stage that I would ever get to change the verse and put something meaningful on there. So we were blessed to win, and the next 6 weeks leading up to the national championship game, I was contemplating, really agonizing over what verse I was going to go with. But God kept bringing to my heart and my head John 3:16, because as a Christian, that's the essence of our Christianity. It's the essence of our hope. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we believe in as Christians. So I decided that's the verse I'm going to go with. So two nights before the game, I go into my parents' hotel room in Miami, Florida, and they open the door, and I was like, all right, Mom, Dad, I'm going to change the verse. And my mom's super supportive, and my dad's like, have you told Coach Meyer? Because Coach Meyer says he just likes his routines, but that dude is so superstitious, it's ridiculous. If we win with long socks, next week they're even longer. So it's just whatever is working, he's going to stick with it. So he was like, you really need to talk to him. So next day we have our walkthrough. After the walkthrough finishes, I was like, hey, Coach Meyer, can I talk to you? He's like, yeah. I said, he's like, how's your arm, your leg? You feeling good? You got the game plan down? Yeah, I'm good. You know the verse I wear in my eyes? He's like, yeah, Philippians 4:13. I love it. I was like, well, I'm going to change it tomorrow night to John 3:16. What are you talking about? You can't change the verse. That verse got us here. I was like, no. So I explained to him why I wanted to go with John 3:16, and he understood, and he was supportive. And honestly, really after that moment, I didn't really think about it. Next night, I just went out there, and we were blessed to win the national championship. And 2 days after that game, I was sitting in Ballyhoo Restaurant eating grouper with my mom, my dad, one of my aunts, and Coach Meyer. And Coach Meyer gets a call from our PR guy at Florida, and he's like, all right, bye. I looked at him. I was like, what's that all about? He told me who it was, our PR guy, and he said, Tim, he just told me that during that game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. And honestly, my first thought was, how the heck do 94 million people not know John 3:16? It's like it's Sunday school, bro. That's the first thing you hear. But it was just so humbling for me sitting in that restaurant thinking about how big the God that we serve really is. Like really, how big the God that we serve really is. So many times we put him in a box. We put him in a box. But no, the God that loves us, the God that created us, the God that has a plan for us, the God that wrote a poem about your life, he is a big God that wants to do amazing things. And when we just turn around and say, hey, here, God, might not feel like a lot. Guess what? He can perform miracles. He can do amazing things. And I really believe the God that we serve wants to do amazing things in us and through us. What was really cool about that game is it was on January 8th of 2009. Well, exactly 3 years later, January 8th, 2012, exactly 3 years later to the day, we just happened to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round of the playoffs. I didn't think of John 3:16 one time, so I can't take credit for it. I had nothing to do with it. I just went out there and tried to do anything I could to try to win a playoff game, and we were blessed to win this crazy game in overtime. And after the game, when we were done celebrating, I changed really quick, and I was going down the hall to do my press conference, and I was really looking forward to it because I love talking to the media. And so I was getting ready to turn left and go into these curtains to talk to the media, and Patrick, our PR guy, steps in front of me. He says, Timmy, did you realize what happened? And I was like, yeah, we just beat the Steelers. We're going to play the Patriots. Like, let me do this. He was like, Timmy, did you realize what happened? I could tell he was being serious. So I was like, Patrick, what's up, man? He looks at me and says, Timmy, this is exactly 3 years from the time you put John 3:16 into your eyes. I was like, oh, really? That's awesome. That's really cool. He says, no, you don't realize. During the game, you threw for 316 yards. Your yards per rush were 3.16. Your yards per completion were 31.6. The time of possession was 31.06. And the ratings for the night were 31.6. And during the game, 90 million people Googled John 3:16, and it's the number one thing on all social media right now. And I was just standing in that hallway thinking, God, I didn't know that you were doing anything. Like, I thought that was like 3 years ago. But it's amazing how God how big the God is that we serve. He took something that I did 3.5 years ago to make a decision to put Philippians 4:13 and then change it for one game. But I thought, hey, this is really cool. We impacted some people, but it's done. But no, God has an awesome plan. He has an awesome plan, and you might not even see what he's doing. You might not even know how he's working. But the amazing thing is when we step out and we show a little courage, we step out and we show a little boldness, what God can do with it in our lives, through our lives. But he's a big God. He's a big God, and he can perform miracles. He can perform miracles. I really believe that he wants to. You have to understand, the God of this universe loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. If he loves you that much, is he not going to want to fight for you? Is he not going to want to fight with you? Is he not going to want to come through for you? Now, that doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. It's not. But it means that it's going to be worth it. It means that it's going to be worth it.
It means it's going to be worth it. So let's walk by faith and not by sight. Let's trust in our God. Your weakness is not a barrier to the power of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are working in and through our lives. And Lord, we choose to walk in strength and wisdom, knowing that you are at work, that you are with us everywhere we go. Lord, this universe is massive, and there is nowhere that we can go that you aren't with us. So Lord, I pray that we might have the confidence to follow you in every situation, in every choice that we make, that we might step out and boldly proclaim that you are God, you are real, and you are working in our lives. And Lord, I pray for every single person here that they would receive from you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time, we're going to have communion.